Merry and blessed Christmas, everyone. It's Christmas morning. And we have so many lovely, lovely traditions. When my own two children were youngsters, we had a little one-bedroom apartment with no real closet space to speak of. I would buy Christmas presents for them and put them in bags behind the couch and throw a blanket over them. I would tell Patrick and Kelsey, this pile is invisible. And they would not go near it, and they would not peek at it. I swear it, it's true. It's a true Christmas miracle. I have friends who tell me that when they were kids, they would search out like bloodhounds the Christmas presents that their parents had bought and wrapped and hidden. They would unwrap them and see what it was and wrap them back up. None of you here did anything like that, did you? Now, was the integrity of my invisible pile of Christmas presents secure because I was such a tyrant they didn't dare? I don't think so. I'm pretty soft. The kids would say they didn't want to look and see what was under the cloak of invisibility. They didn't want to already know. They didn't want to ruin the surprise and joy of what would be under the tree on Christmas morning. And friends, that is both the blessing and the challenge of this Christmas morning. That is the blessing and the challenge of welcoming Jesus into the world. Whether we read in Luke's gospel the angel declaring, "For unto you is born on this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Or if we have the more mystical gospel of John this morning, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." However we read the gospel, we are coming face to face with an astounding miracle, but one that we have long since peeked at under the blanket behind the couch. Our familiarity with the Christmas story is both our blessing and our challenge. Blessing, of course. But with the familiarity, we think that we know exactly what to expect and whom to expect. And so, our breath is not taken away. Our lives are not necessarily altered today because of it. But Jesus was not just born into the world once 2,000 years ago, one and done. Jesus continues, Emmanuel, God with us then and now. Christmas becomes so familiar, we could almost forget what a miracle of pure love it is. For also in John's gospel, we read, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. What if we lived our lives in response to that kind of love? Do we really know exactly what to expect? We have a God who came in our flesh, who knows our world and our sorrows, not from an ethereal cloud above, but from the straw of the manger and the dirt of the road and the wood of the cross. From flesh to flesh, a mother's breast, a friend's embrace, a desperate person's hand reaching out. That is where we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. In the Gospels, there are astounding moments, like Jesus' baptism, when a voice is heard from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I take delight." Or when Jesus shined up on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. But most of Jesus' story takes place with everyday people, because that is the real miracle. Not that God shines, of course God shines, but that God became flesh, one of us truly human, this Christmas day. Think about that and be astounded. When we hear the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in this Gospel of John, his Christmas morning story, we're hearing the declaration that in Jesus we have the full revelation of God, fully human and fully divine. Don't ever let the miracle of that become commonplace to you. We need that human Jesus among us, where indeed he is. The Canadian author and poet Sarah Klassen captures it in her poem Incarnation. It goes, God is carnal? Yes, God has got to be flesh and blood. Bones, too, like any one of us. A child can't go to sleep in a dark room unless there is someone right there beside her, someone with skin. Embodiment matters. And in his birth, Jesus, coming as one of us, changed the world. And he changes us with the comfort of being flesh and blood right here beside us. Our challenge is to still be astounded by this miracle. We think we know all about the gospel story of Jesus' birth, and that we don't see Jesus in flesh and blood these days, not in the same way as that first Christmas morning. Yet as Christians, we do, and we must see Jesus in flesh and blood, right here beside us in every person. That is the challenge too. Who is Jesus to you? Because no one isn't Jesus to you. According to his own words, whatever you did or didn't do for one of these, you did or didn't do for me. He made no exceptions. Who is Jesus for the people in the SeaTac detention center or the refugee city full of tents in Matamoros, Mexico? For a stranger seeking asylum or a busy working mother or a stressed young man looking for a job or a homeless family or a lonely neighbor or a person who's grieving or a person who's joyful or the person sitting right next to you? You are, or they are themselves. That is the real mystery of the incarnation and a real, tangible experience of incarnation for us 2 millennia later, who still come to the manger like the shepherds, looking with trembling and joy for Jesus. Yes, the people were waiting for and expecting a Messiah who would shine and conquer. Not to be a helpless infant born on the run to a nondescript family. Our ordinary flesh and humble circumstances. That is the challenge. Is that the God we want? An ordinary birth to less than desirable parents? Isn't the American dream built on riches and fame and power at all costs? Then why do you come to the manger? Imagine Jesus being born in the world today, being born at the borders and in your town and in your neighborhood and in your family and in you. This is the joy of Christmas morning that makes us gasp in wonder. Generation upon generation had waited for his coming, and now the star is shining in the east. Can we turn our eyes, as they did, to the sheer wonder of it? Let it take your breath away, and let it send you forth to live the promise and the challenge of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us.